Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti or football fans in general, since this is a nice summer pod, to Interviews Pod episode 89. It's crazy that we've already got to 89 here. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianni Paterno. We're going to talk some Inter. We're going to talk the Mercato. I'm going to give you guys an update. There's been a lot of news and a lot of stuff that's been going on since we last spoke with you. But obviously, we have to lead with what we just saw here. Gianni, do you want to give any condolences to our boy Nima, who suffered a terrible, terrible loss today?
Yeah, I mean, diehard English fan, you know, born and raised in the tough streets of Birmingham. You know, Nima Tovali Rudzari unfortunately passed away today with his beloved Three Lions. They've taken him too soon.
They took him too soon.
Poor Nima, poor Matteo Bonetti, which was, I mean, shocking.
Was that real? Do you think that was real?
I don't know if that was real.
Parody.
He wouldn't reply to my quote tweets, so I'm assuming it was real. Yeah, that is just a painful loss. I'm sure Nima had hope when Cole Palmer equalized. I'm sure he was thrilled and thought, this is it. It's coming home, finally. We're finally going to be able to celebrate, and deservedly so, is what was going through in his mind. And then, in the 86th minute, all hope was stripped away. And now Nima's not even, he hasn't even been heard from. So, it's a shame. It's a shame. I wonder what's going to happen with Sempre Inter, now that Nima's gone. I don't know. Is it Sempre Napoli? I don't even remember which one he's running anymore. So.
Right. Yeah, you never know. But again, I just tweeted, the Inter curse comes in many forms, whether you are Milan Skriniar or whether you are England. If Nima's commenting on you, you got to watch your back, because obviously it's not coming home for the second straight final. I don't think the insufferable arrogance is going to end. I think it's going to continue. If not, it's going to get even crazier. But it's good for today. It's good to have a win. And I think it's been a pretty good couple of days for Calcio Twitter as a whole. I guess before we'll get into...
I think this is the... I don't think there is anything that unites Calcio Twitter quite like a hate watch of England. I don't even think, because even when Italy plays, we all bicker, right? But when we're out and it comes to hate watching England, we are the biggest, most unified front. And it's hilarious.
Any other teams playing in this game, I would have enjoyed it watching as a neutral, but there's just no way, if England is involved, that I can possibly not root for the other team on the pitch. So England and England fans, sorry, Nima, very, very, very sorry, but things didn't work out. As far as some other news in Calcio Twitter before we get into the Inter stuff, for those who don't know, yesterday a tweet went around after former President Donald Trump was almost assassinated. It was run by multiple like White House accredited reporters. It was on some TV channels. Marco Violi, also known as Mark Violet, was initially thought to be the shooter, or as parody, it went around that he was a shooter. And I think
Mark Violet committing violence.
It was just insane. It had to be the most entertaining day on Calcio Twitter. I don't know how that's going to play out, because obviously he must have woken up
he's suing everybody, he said.
It's just insane.
He's suing everybody. And he kind of has a right.
Yeah. I mean,
like, how are you as a news outlet do not do your research?
They put his face on TV.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
Oh, man.
You never know what you're going to get with Calcio Twitter, but a nice crossover with American politics. Did not see that one coming. All right, let's get into the state of Inter, a little state of the union here. Let's lead off a little happy birthday, buon compleanno to Samir Handanovic, Inter goalkeeper for how many years was he with us? Former captain.
I want to say 10 years.
Yeah, it was a very long time.
2012? When did he come? Was it 2012?
I'm going to pull up his Wikipedia right now. So he joined Inter in 2012. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. All right. So
300
years.
Yeah, 380 appearances for Inter. He was with us during the banter era. He was one of our captains. And eventually was able to win a trophy with Inter when Antonio Conte came over and took over. So happy birthday. And yeah, fond memories of you. We're not going to talk about the later years of your Inter career, but fond memories of Samir. And I think he's actually working with the club. He may be scouting for goalkeeping talent. I'm not sure exactly what his position is, but he actually is still with the club.
That's pretty cool.
It is. It's always nice to have the legends around. All right. So let's get into the meat and potatoes here. Like I mentioned, a lot of news coming out. And let's go ahead and get into our first topic of the day, which is the Inzaghi renewal. Officially announced with the press conference with Beppe Marotta, Inzaghi has renewed his contract until 2026, which I think is the real talking point here. I don't think Interisti were too nervous about Inzaghi moving on. I think everyone feels good about the renewal. But I'll ask you, are you surprised it's not until 2027, that extra year, given that that's when Marotta and Ausilio and management's contracts are up? Do you think that, can we read into that at all?
I don't think so. I if anything, I think it's them being really smart with what they have left and what time they have left. I think, you know, God forbid Inzaghi tanks or Inzaghi turns out to be a bust. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it's like, it's less time that you have to pay out if you decide to terminate a contract. And with the way that we had to do with paying out Spalletti, paying out Conte, you know, like, we can't really afford to really have to pay out another manager if we had to let him go. So I think that's really all it is. I don't think that they are dissatisfied with his work. I don't think that there's anything to read into. I think that they made him the highest paid manager in the league, right? I don't think you do that if you don't believe that the guy's going to be there for the long term. So I just think this is more of kind of protecting themselves, which I can respect, more so than it being like an issue, you know, with management or anything like that.
I love that you just said that. That made me feel a lot better, actually. Because I was thinking, like, why not line up everybody? But the reality is things can turn around quick in football. And if things start not going our way, even though the team has really been set up to play in Inzaghi's mold, you don't want to be saddled with, like, an Allegri-like contract that, you know, it's tough to get out from under. So, happy that he's renewed. He mentioned how happy he was at Inter, how much of a family it is. And, you know, it's good to see that we're continuing the project in this vein with him. And, you know, 2026 is still a couple years away. So we'll see how things play out there. Speaking of some other interesting tidbits to come out of the initial press conference, the Marotta and Inzaghi press conference, there was a couple things that I wanted to highlight. The first is, they mentioned, you know, like 70 games coming up and competing on all different fronts as far as the competitions are concerned. I think we're competing in, so we have Serie A, Coppa Italia, Champions League, Club World Cup. And that's Super it, right? Copa. Supercoppa. Yep, Supercoppa. So five competitions, which the Supercoppa is now multiple games. So five competitions. And the question for you is this squad as currently comprised, actually not, let's say not as currently comprised, including the addition of a left center back, as it feels like, you know, that's something that we're gonna work to get done. Do you think the squad is deep enough to compete in all of these competitions, or do you think that we should be prioritizing one competition over the rest?
I think we should punt Coppa Italia, but I think we could compete on the other four. And I only say that because I don't see anybody in Serie A as a real threat, contrary to what people like Nima and some Napoli fans will tell you. I don't care if Conte has one game a week. You know, you don't go from first to 10th and then you just add Buongiorno and all of a sudden you're now going to be champions again. I'm sorry, that's not how I see that playing out. Everyone is a year older. Conte is going to ride them into the ground and he's going to have them training so much that who knows? I mean, Osimhen gets hurt, then what? You know, what if Cavalli gets hurt, then what? You know, I think that the Napoli fans are getting a little too arrogant and I think they're putting a little bit too much faith in what Conte can do at a club. You know, let's not forget his last club that he managed, Tottenham, he didn't really turn it around there either. You know, I think that type of tactic wears off really quickly on players. And when you look at the rosters between what he came into at Inter and what he's coming into at Napoli, Inter were hungry. It had been nearly a decade since they had won. Actually, over a decade since they had won the league. So, no, nearly a decade. Yes. Maybe it was. Whatever. Regardless, they were starving. Napoli did just have victory last year. So maybe they don't have that same fire, that same desire. So I think that we truly can compete on four fronts. Supercoppa will pay us well. Winning the Serie A would pay well. Having at least a quarterfinal run, which I think is the bare minimum that we as fans would expect next year with the club, especially with the players that are out and the players that have come in, I think that we can expect that comfortably. I hope I'm not wrong, but and then with the Club World Cup, that's a lot of money available to us. So I could see us making like a real push and a real desire to make a deep run in that as well. Plus, to me, that's a little bit more of an exciting format than what we're getting with this new version of the Champions League. So I think that'll be a lot more fun. And who doesn't want to be the first winners ever, right? So I think that we really can have that competitive squad. And I think we are deep enough. Personally, I do think another center back and then maybe another striker or a midfielder option would be like ideal to add to this team. I know, I'm a big Samardzic fan. I don't know if that's ever going to come back around.
It's going to be tough.
I don't love what we have coming off the bench. I mean, even though now it's going to be potentially Mkhitaryan or Zielinski with Fratesi and Aslani, I think that we're still missing another creative aspect in there. But I do think that we have enough. I would like to see maybe an ad somewhere on the pitch. And I kind of like, listen, I know some people are going to disagree with me, but I kind of like that Oaktree is really pushing for a youth player or a younger player as opposed to another aging free transfer or another veteran player who has experience. I think that we do need to get more youth. And at the same time, look, I was talking about it in an interspace. You can't have five-star players at every position. You can't have five-star bench players. You need to have like the right role player. And a younger player would be willing to come to a club like Inter and be able to come off the bench and really make a name for himself. I mean, look what it did for BSEC, right? So we'll see. We'll see what happens, though.
So a couple things on that. First, as far as the Oaktree preferring to invest in younger players, completely agree there. If you look at Inter's problem, as far as the Mercato is concerned, like Inter's up there, the Zielinski and Taremi signings on a free, like those are massively influential players for no money. That's extremely good business. But if you look at what the real problem is as far as rounding out this squad, it's that we can't get rid of our dead weight. We're having trouble getting rid of our dead weight, which is not something that like Milan or Juventus is struggling with. Milan has like Benacer, who has interest from the Saudi league, and he can go for way more money than you would typically value him for. Moise Kean, like how did he go for so much money? It's because they're young enough where it's worth spending the money, as opposed to with Inter, it's like, how do you get rid of a 35-year-old Arnautovic? It's not easy. And that's something that I really want to get out from under. And you can do that with young players. Even if they don't fulfill their potential at Inter, they're still young enough and talented enough where other teams are willing to take a shot on them. So completely agreed there. The other thing, I think, as far as the competitions is concerned, I think if you were to ask Simone, you can only win one. Which one would you take? I think he would say Champions League.
Really?
Over defending the Serie A. Yeah, because I think...
I don't know.
Getting to that final and losing that final in the way that we did has to be something. They were talking about it today where, like, England, you know, they came so close and how much that must weigh on them mentally. I think it's the same with Simone. If you gave him the chance and, you know, he could select which competition he'd win, I think he'd want another shot at bringing home that Champions League trophy. And for me, it's been 2010 was the last time. Wasn't it the last time a Serie A team in general won the Champions League?
Yeah.
So it's time. As much of as shit as the league gets, like, it's really time for us to get back to the glory days as far as Europe is concerned. We have more teams competing in Europe than any other league. And I think if any team is going to carry the torch for Serie A in Europe, it's obviously I want it to be Inter. So that would be my answer as well, which competition I'd prioritize.
Wow.
Not only does it get you the money too, but in terms of a project and signing players, that European pedigree does go a long way. So that's where I stand on that. All right. Second thing that I thought was super interesting coming out of this press conference was Inzaghi speaking about Carboni, and the way that he was talking about him, it really, obviously there's things that you say in order to continue to keep interest in a player going up, or there's a way that you talk so that it's not like, hey, this player's on the market, like, and, you know, signaling to other clubs that they can get a discount on him. The way that he was speaking about Carboni is he intends to have him back after the Copa America, and he intends to integrate him into the squad, that he can play behind the strikers. He mentioned that he can play, you know, as a fifth. So we know that Marseille wants him on a loan plus obligation. We know that Inter is holding out for 40 million euros. Where do you stand on what we should do with Valentin Carboni? An immensely talented kid, but there's a lot of talent at Inter.
I want to keep him. I really do. Whether it's loaning him out and not no obligation, or keeping him as we, like you said, we have a lot of tournament or competition to be a part of. I would much rather him be an option off the bench. Now, it doesn't seem Inzaghi is like too high on keeping him around. That's okay, I guess. I would rather, you know, maybe loan him to Fiorentina. I think, you know, another year with Paladino would be good for him. He kind of fits that formation perfectly. So, you know, maybe you go work something out there to allow him to continue to grow. Bologna is an option, you know, as another opportunity. You know, I think that if he gets maybe a taste of European football, that'll help in his growth. I think it's too soon to sell. Now, I would sell him if it meant we're getting, you know, a legitimate defender coming in, a real center back who's established, whoever it may be. Maybe not whoever it may be. There'd have to be certain names that would have to be, you know, for sure coming, but. That's the only way I'd be willing to sell him. I would only be willing to do a dry loan. But it seems to me, and listen, maybe I'm wrong, but like seeing around Serie A, not a lot of teams want to work with Inter in that sense and allowing their players to come there and be able to grow on loan. I think they would rather develop their own players, which is understandable to an extent. But if you have someone who's of a better caliber player available or being offered to you, I don't know why you wouldn't jump at that opportunity. So we'll see.
Yeah, if you don't have the obligation where you can purchase the player, it's like, why am I going to give him all these minutes? If he succeeds, then he's just back to you, and you know, you get to reap the benefits of it. So yeah, it's interesting. If, in my opinion, if we don't get our price, which I would sell for 35 or 40, let's be honest, he's immensely talented, but it's not like he's really done a ton, and it's not like he's actually contributed to Inter. If you're able to get 40 million euros for a player that hasn't done anything with your current team, then I think you have to take it, especially if you can use that money to improve a squad that's already super high level. If Marseille wants him on loan, then there needs to be an obligation in there for a 35-40 million dollar purchase.
Yes, but and with no targets being met, like not like qualifying for Champions League.
Automatic. It's the automatic. Same thing, like Fratesi, you played a couple minutes in February.
He plays one game. One game. It's, you know, one game after January, let's say. That's it. Boom. They're obligated to own him.
I agree. And if you can't get your price now, put him in a situation where he's likely to succeed so you can continue to keep his value.
No more of this like a Gume type loans where you loan it to teams that it's just a waste of your time and effort.
We'll get to Agume, that's for sure.
I was hoping we wouldn't, but okay.
We will get to Agume, and we'll get to a few other players that are, like we mentioned earlier, dead weight, and we have to figure out what to do with them. All right, let's move on. So Inter has started training. A few names, new names that we've signed have already started to trickle in and get their first training sessions under Simone up and running. I've been watching the YouTube videos. It's obviously, you know, strength and conditioning work essentially, but it is still exciting to see some new names in the team. So I want to go ahead and actually rate these players or these signings 1 out of 10. And it can be include everything in your rating. Talent of the player, the actual deal itself, you know, the mechanics of the deal, include all of it in your ratings. There's five confirmed signings. One of them is scheduled for a medical next week, so I'm going to include him. But why don't we go ahead and start with the first one that was officially announced. Piotr Zielinski has come into the team after a long career in Serie A with Napoli, one Scudetto win, an immense performer in Serie A for quite a long time, now joins Inter's midfield. And the expectation is that it's going to cut into Mkhitaryan's minutes. I don't think he would have joined unless he was sure that he'd be getting significant minutes. So 1 out of 10, rate the Zielinski signing.
I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Love this one.
Yeah, love the player. Love what he's coming in. I'm not the biggest Mkhitaryan fan, so hopefully this pushes him to the bench to be able to save his legs. I think that Mickey would be better suited to come off the bench and have an impact that way. I think, you know, towards the end of games, we would see he would just make silly errors, get, you know, tired runs and not really have that same level of energy. For whatever reason, he was always the guy kept on. So now, you know, if you want to keep him on, at least I'd rather him be kept on as a substitute. So I think Zielinski brings that. You know, he's great on the ball. He's when he's able to drop his shoulder and turn, he has great moves, great vision. He's like ambidextrous. He's able to shoot with both feet. So yeah, no, I'm a big fan of this signing, and I think that he fits this team very well.
I'm gonna give it a 7. I think. Well, here's the thing.
Offended.
The reason why I give it a 7 is I think Simone loves Mkhitaryan so much. And if you put Zielinski in there, you're definitely losing some of the defensive work that Mkhitaryan does and some of the running. But what you're gaining is a player who's much more effective in the final third, who's very capable of combining with the forwards, very capable of scoring absolute bangers. So you gain something with him on the pitch, but you're also losing a little bit. It is a player who is on the older end. You did sign him for a free, which again is why I'm pushing it higher at a 7, and I'm really excited to see what he's able to do, because I don't think Fratesi is the number one option coming off the bench. I just think Zielinski has more in his locker, so I'm excited to add another option. It's nice to have Zielinski and Fratesi coming off the bench, because as of right now, I still do expect him to start Mkhitaryan next year, and then hopefully Zielinski can take that spot. All right. The second confirmed signing was Josep Martinez, brought in to be our backup goalkeeper. And then given the fee, around $15 million for his services, you're spending that kind of money on a goalkeeper. It's not to be a career backup at Inter. They're, you know, this is the guy to take over for Sommer afterwards. Having watched him, there's tremendous talent there, especially in the distribution. The shot stopping is good, but the positioning is not always great, and that's something that you hope that we can improve upon. So right now I'm also going to give this a 7. Reason it's not higher is because I think Bento is a much better keeper, and I'm sad that we missed out on him.
Man, you're a harsh critic. I don't know who, like, just did something happen this morning? Are you okay?
I'm sipping the Johnny. You know, let's pump the brakes.
Well, I think I'm more optimistic about him than you are.
It's been a long summer.
Clearly. he gets an 8 from me. Yes, I do wish we would have got Bento, but I think that this was the best option after Bento. And listen, at that price, to be able to get him, and now you're hearing rumors that they want $40 million for Bento. We would have never paid that. So it's like, yes, we could say Bento's the better keeper all we want, but realistically, he was never an option at that price point. And if he ends up going for $40 million or even $30 million, you know, $20 million, I was okay with. $30 million for a guy who's going to be sitting a year, I don't think that that's smart business. Regardless of who's ahead of him or how talented he is, I just didn't think that that was going to be worth it. I want someone who's going to be able to have an impact right away, especially given the amount of tournaments that we're going to be, you know, participating in this year. So for what we were able to get, you know, Martinez for, which is either rumored between 12 and 15 million, you know, whatever ends up being, I think that's brilliant. I will agree with you that, yeah, some positioning things need to be worked on. But his reflexes, his shot stopping are fantastic. His ability to play with the ball at his feet is very good. You know, coming from La Masia, I'm not saying he's going to be like Onana, but he can have similar characteristics of Onana and just, you know, maybe like a notch below. So, yeah, great piece of business, great guy to get in. He has experience in Serie A, so, you know, there's nothing to worry about there. And God forbid there's any injury to Jan Sommer, which, you know, I don't ever want to be the case, but I would feel much more confident knowing that Martinez is the guy coming off the bench than Audero. So yeah, that's an 8 for me.
Do you, let's assume health for Sommer, how much do you expect to see Josep this year?
I'll say every Coppa Italia game.
I would and say he should. He's earned that. He was the starter at Genoa for an entire year, and they overperformed. So,
and I'm gonna go. I'm going to go with a hot take here, but I think he's going to be the guy that gets the Club World Cup matches.
Interesting.
I think that, you know, coming to the States, that they're going to, you know, not that they're not going to take it seriously, but I think they're going to want to, you know, just let Sommer rest, you know, let him have the summer off. He could be there, you know, and who knows, maybe if Sommer wants to take it, it doesn't matter, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Martinez will be the starter come Club World Cup.
And hopefully
that'll be like his train, you know what I mean? Like leading up to taking over the number one.
And he's also working with Simone, you know, earlier in the season. So maybe, you know, they're able to develop a relationship. He wants to give him minutes, hopefully. And we'll see how that plays out. I think that's an interesting take. And then hopefully we build up such a commanding lead in Serie A that maybe he can finish out the season as the starting goalkeeper. So let's see how that plays out. The third player that's been announced is Mehdi Taremi, coming in from Porto, 31 years old, another free transfer. Johnny, your rating on this signing. The first Iranian to ever play for Inter.
Yeah, happy for Iranian fans. I think that'll definitely make it harder for me to get an Inter kit. I'm going to give this one a 7. You know, listen, I think he's going to be a massive improvement off of what we had coming off the bench. But I don't know if like he's going to have that insane of an impact, you know, that people are anticipating. Doesn't mean I'm rooting against him. I do think he's a very good finisher, very good in the build-up play. So who knows? Maybe he can surprise. And the predictions we had for Arnautovic last year, maybe that could be more realistically applied to Taremi. And if he does do that, maybe, let's say like 15 goals in all comps. And that goes up to like in I'd say an 8.5 too. I think I'm trying to like
temper expectation.
Yeah, with it. Not that I'm expecting him to fail or by any means. Listen, he is a clinical finisher. Like, look at his numbers. Like, the guy can score. But I think I'm just trying to not put the pressure on him that I was, you know, that I mean, I would say even you and I were kind of putting on Arnautovic when he came. So, yeah.
I think that's fair, but I'm really high on this signing. I'm going to give it an 8.5. Wow. I think he's going to have... Listeners,
I want you to know that we did not really have discussions before this episode, and we probably should have because we don't see eye to eye on anything.
Listen, to me, he's close to... The impact that I foresee from him is close to what we got from Dzeko. We know how important Dzeko was. I think he's going to be...
That's pressure.
So Lautaro and Thuram, they really had to handle the bulk of everything up top because going to Arnautovic and Alexis wasn't good for us, especially given the level of competition and that Juventus was giving us. Like, we really needed to have our top guys in there all the time. And I think him coming into the team is really, really crucial for both Thuram and Lautaro's health. I think he's a legit option that you can start and feel comfortable starting. I think he's super talented with the ball at his feet. He's really good at holding up play. He's really good at combining in tight spaces, which is something that, you know, we desperately need. And I'm really high on Taremi. I think he's going to have a huge impact. And he's younger than Dzeko was when we brought him into the side. So
you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. He is going to have a Dzeko type impact.
If
he doesn't, blame Alessandro Rafa.
I'm not trying to jinx anybody. All right, guys. There's no,
no, no, no. I don't believe in jinxes. Jinxes aren't a real thing. They're not. Only Nima believes in that stuff.
I believe in it. I'm very superstitious. Maybe I should bump my rating down because I really want him to succeed.
No,
but he Yeah, this is a really good signing. So the first three guys that we talked about have cost in total, you know, up front, like 12 million euros. Just not taking into account the wages, just in terms of the funds. So you've added a potential starter in midfield. You've added a keeper who you expect to be the backup this year, but potentially the starter for the next 10 years. And then you've added a forward who has proven it on a European stage with Porto, a really, really good player. So good business so far. And then we'll get into a couple youngsters here. Topalovic, training with the first team, brought in Slovenian kid that is getting comparisons to all sorts of players. From what I've seen from him, technically he's super, super good. What would you rate the signing? And do you expect that this is a player that's going to actually play for Inter one day, unlike a lot of the kids that we end up bringing in here?
One day, yes. And I'm going to give it a 9, and I'll tell you why. Because to get him now, at that price, hopefully he turns into what all the people are saying he's going to become. You know, I've seen some things like Kevin De Bruyne. I've seen other things like...
Milinkovic-Savic. I've seen...
Yeah, like, yep. Milinkovic-Savic. I've seen Luka Modric. You know, like, these are like people. I mean, those are obviously three different types of profiles of players. So it's kind of unfair to put that kind of pressure on them, especially like when you think about but reporters did do the same thing to Agüero when they were saying we signed the next Pogba. You know, so I don't want to put that kind of pressure on him. But when I saw Agüero play, I never felt the way I did after I saw from what I've seen from Topalovic. I don't think he's going to stay with the first team. He's either going to go with the Primavera or be loaned out, I think, at some point. You know, I think he'll be able to play and get some opportunities in friendlies during the summer to kind of show what he's capable of. And I'm excited about this guy. And that, to me, if he pans out the way he possibly could, that's like at least an $80 million player that you have in your academy or in your, you know, in your ranks.
Yep.
Yeah, if he pans out. So that's huge, you know, that I hope that he does work out. I hope that he, you know, becomes what, you know, everybody says he can become, because, yeah, I would love it.
And he's coming from the same academy that I think Benjamin Šeško was a part of. And what gets me most excited, and this is a Sempre Inter plug here, go read the article on sempreinter.com. The director of his former club team in Slovenia gave this quote: of all the clubs, Inter was the one with a concrete project for the player. So I wonder what that means. That if they really, really believe in him, was the project that, hey, you know, you're going to be part of this team one day. It's interesting. I think Italy and Italian clubs have a lot of problems with getting talented youth players integrated, Inter chief among them.
You know actually did start at that club?
Who did?
Samir Handanovic.
There you go. Maybe this was a Honda scouting job.
Maybe this was. Maybe he, you know what? If he did bring him, whew.
Makes up for a lot of stuff.
I mean, I know, if I'm not mistaken, too, this is where that kid, I mean, he didn't pan out, but Denis Halilovic started as well.
I think with Slovenia, what we saw from them in the Euros is this might be an area of Europe where we install a true scouting team. Seeing some talents coming out of here, it might be a place for us to continue to go to. All right, and the last one, Alex Perez, center back from Real Betis, not officially signed yet. I'm only bringing him up because everyone is reporting that he's going to have his medical next week. This is another young player that, again, not expecting to see in the Inter first team this year, but I haven't watched much of him. From what I can see from a physical standpoint, he's like your prototype center back, which I think is exciting off the bat. Have you seen anything from Alex Perez? Anything that gets you really excited, or are you lukewarm on this until we can actually start seeing some more of him?
Yeah, I mean, I'm only going off of like, YouTube comps. From what I've seen, I mean, he does very good with his positioning, very good with his tackling and his man marking, which I think is important that you want in a center back, of course. He's a very physical presence, like you said. I think that he is like really strong, and I think that he could develop into, and I could be wrong, but he kind of reminds me, from what I've seen, the limited, footage I've seen of him, he kind of reminds me of Miranda. I think he's that same type of, big center back, strong, and really calm with the ball. Like, that was one thing I used to love about Miranda when he was at Inter, was that, he wasn't the quickest or the fleetest of foot, but he knew when to make a challenge. He knew when to move in. He knew when to give space and really back off and how to play the angles. And I think that this Perez kid can kind of have the same thing. Hopefully it does get, across the finish line and he pans out. And if we could develop like the passing that you see from guys like Pavard and Bastoni, I mean, you got a real player there. So yeah, excited with this one. If it gets done, I'd probably give it a 7 just because of the limited knowledge and limited things I've seen from him. But it could obviously be an even bigger signing.
Yeah, I don't know much about the kid. I'm excited to be signing a youngster. I like bringing some of these profiles in and seeing if there's any serious gems. So yeah, tough to evaluate, but I'll go with a 6. All right, the closest. Let's go to the rumor mill here for completing this mercato. The deal that appears closest appears to be Juan Cabal from Verona. He played at a fullback, left fullback for Verona last year. 23-year-old Colombian kid. The expectation is that he would move inside to left center back. In the research that I've done on him, and I don't, to be totally honest, I don't remember him standing out to me when I watched Verona, but in the research that I've done, it seems like the position that he was playing was essentially where Inter's left center backs typically line up. So it shouldn't be difficult for him to make that transition to playing in a back three. The deal looks to be $8 million up front, $2 million in bonuses, and potentially Kamate going the other way, who I know was a player that you had high hopes for. So I think he's a pretty good player. Been watching, like you mentioned, I'm not pulling up old Verona games because don't have time for that at the moment, but just on YouTube, he looks like a super strong tackler, and he looks like someone who, once the ball is at his feet, he's very, very offensive. Like, he is looking to drive the ball forward. He's looking to play a long ball. He's not looking to just do quick layoffs, and he also has some dribbling ability. So given, let's pretend like this is the one that gets over the line and he is your vice Bastoni, with Augusto going to left wing back. How do you feel about these links to Juan Cabal at the moment?
I mean, they're okay. You know, he didn't, like you said, he didn't really stand out. Doesn't really excite me. I don't know. I don't know what to think about him. You know, I mean, for a depth piece, I don't think it's the worst signing. You know, I know some people will disagree and they think that he's terrible on the ball. I've heard some people liken him to Dumfries with his passing. I don't remember being that bad or seeing that bad of passing. I do think that he was a little clumsy with challenges at times. But again, like, I think people have unrealistic expectations on what we can sign and who we can sign. And just because that we are the defending Serie A champions, that all of a sudden we have all this money to be able to throw at players. We don't.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah.
We can't be signing, you know, would I prefer to have gotten Buongiorno? Absolutely. Let's not pretend that that's not who I would want instead. You know, would I prefer, you know, a guy like Kim, a guy like Perez from Udinese, or even Bijol from Udinese? Absolutely. But maybe this is what we can do. You know, we as fans, I think, are very spoiled. And I think that who are we to doubt really what Beppe and Piero and Bacin are doing? You know, like, if they have picked this player, then there is a specific reason that they think that he fits. Now, I mean, we've seen, you know, Inzaghi say that he prefers Hermoso, and that's fair. I understand that as well. But if they pick this guy, I'm sure there's a legitimate reason and why we're not going after Bijol or even, you know, somebody else that has been, you know, rumored to come to Inter. So not my favorite signing, not someone I would be like, oh my gosh, this is the signing of the season. But I also said that about Carlos Augusto last year, and look how that turned out. So, you know, let's give the guy a chance before we kind of say he's a flop.
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm definitely interested. This is a player that was almost in Lazio's hands before Inter got involved. Apparently Juventus also got involved, which I think is total BS and just probably Verona, you know, seeing that we're getting serious and trying to keep his price high. They rejected 5 million from Lazio. This 8 million plus 2 in bonuses, you know, feels like they should be able to get the deal done, but let's see how that shakes out. As far as the other names that were linked for this position, you have Ricardo Rodriguez, who apparently Inzaghi would have liked him. Not exciting for me whatsoever. I think people went a little bit overboard with, oh, this is the worst thing ever, because the reality is like, you essentially just need a plug until January. Like, Buchanan should be ready before January, but let's call it January until he gets his feet under him. You essentially just need a plug until you can put Carlos Augusto back in the Vice Bastoni position. I don't think Ricardo Rodriguez is somebody that you were going to see a lot. And even if you were, it's not like the ball is really running through him. Like, he would just be replacing Bastoni at times. So either way, he doesn't seem like he's the oak tree profile. Hermoso at this point, who I would have taken for sure. Also not an oak tree profile, and he's close to Napoli at this point. There were links to Facundo Medina, but nothing from the Italian journalist, so it makes me think it wasn't very serious. Would you have preferred any of those three names, Rodriguez, Hermoso, Medina, to Cabal?
Yeah, probably both.
Let's say Simone is thinking about the team right now, but I'm going to task you with thinking about the team for several years to come when you give this answer.
Okay. So then that changes it, because, yeah, had I thought of now, I would have said Hermoso. If I'm thinking for several years to come, yeah, Facundo Medina probably would have been the one, even though, like you said, there wasn't really any concrete rumors about him. But we do well with Argentinians. You know, I think that he would have fit this team pretty well. So,
yeah. It's not coming from your favorite league in the world, though.
But that, see, I have that vendetta against them based on forwards. Forwards are a joke.
You don't keep goal statistics from League
One.
Yeah,
I don't take those ever. You know, shout out Jonathan David. Yeah, no, like, I'm not a fan of forwards there. Midfielders and defenders, I'm okay with. You know, I mean, you know, if they told me we were going to go after Todibo, I'd be all for that, you know. Like, But yeah, Medina is another guy that I think would have been a good fit for this team.
Yeah, I think I would agree. I would agree. But I'm getting myself excited with Cabal. I'm checking in on, you know, him every couple of days here, and I'm getting myself excited about it. I think he's a really good physical profile, and let's see if playing with better players improves him. Is this Tanner Tessman thing going to get over the line? Because I'm ready for it to happen. I have convinced myself on him so much that if Fiorentina offered 18 million for Aslani, I think I would take that and keep Tessman instead of giving it back to Venezia for the year. Is that a crazy thing to say?
No, because I'm right there with you.
Nice.
I really agree with you. If that was, if there was truth in that. I do think, listen, we're hearing all different types of rumors. I don't know what to believe and what not to believe. If it is true that he doesn't want to go back to Venezia on loan, I think that's being a little silly. Like, you're going to be guaranteed playing time, you know, like,
and they want to keep
you. Like, yeah, in Serie A, which I think would be better than you going to, you know, a club in the Uber Eats or the Domino Pizza League, whatever it's called now.
They put you in fucking the Swiss League. You'd be like Zanotti. Like, why?
Yeah, like, that would be a waste. Same thing with going to a championship team or an EPL team, a waste. I would rather you stay in Serie A. I think I was actually looking forward to him staying at Venezia so that I could watch Venezia games with a little bit more. Although, we as Americans, we don't know how we're going to be watching Serie A next year. So that's kind of funny. But yeah, I would have. I kind of hope this gets straightened away because I think this guy's like a real player.
Me too.
You see the vision, the passing, the range that he has.
The shooting is
really good. Free kick ability. I mean, this guy's a legit player. And, you know, people want to knock it because he's American. Why don't you go watch films? And I'm not just saying like highlights. Go actually watch Serie A B games. I've actually watched two of his full games, and man, this guy could be a legit player for us. And I'm not saying he's ready to step in and replace Hakan, but I think, yeah, like you said, like maybe replacing Aslani if that was an option. Where, you know, I don't think 14 million is enough. I would much rather have like the 23 to 25 million range for Aslani. But yeah, like let's get this across the finish line and see where he ends up. But I'm excited.
He's already better defensively than Aslani is. Maybe than Aslani Agreed. Ever will be, because he's just physically a completely different specimen to him. And then as far as like, you know, what value Aslani brings to the table, he's a really good passer. He has good vision. But I see some of that. I see a lot of that with Tanner, actually. So, yeah, you guys can call us, you know, that we're doing the same thing, like with what Thomas does with Tejan and with Jonathan David. But it's not like that at all. Like, I don't think I prefer American players at all. But this kid is really good. And Orisanio is already done to Venezia. So, like, let's wrap up this side of the deal. And get her over the line. Another player that's getting a ton of hype, Leoni from Sampdoria. How much have you watched of this kid, and do you think that the hype is warranted for him?
I have not watched anything of Giovanni Leoni. I've heard things, of course, but I haven't watched much.
6'4", 17 yep. years old. Being compared Defender. To Bastoni.
He is being compared to Bastoni, which I is never a bad thing. Yeah, I mean, he's done good. I know he's done well for the under-19 team. Or under-17 team for Italy. One of the two, I forget.
Under-17.
I think he's 17, so it's probably under-17. You know, that might be something where we would want to ask Tony Mitch a little bit more about. But, hey, if that's one that we can get for the future, too... You know, because if you look at it, what, Bastoni is what, 25?
Bastoni is 20, let me confirm that. Yeah, hold on. Bastoni, not Brooklyn Library, Bastoni.
25, yeah, I found it.
Yeah.
So by the time he's 30, right, that means that if we got Leone, Leone would be 22. And there you go. You could have your ready-made replacement by the time, not that he's, you know, but by the time he reaches his peak, potentially like 30, between 30 and 32, I would say is when a soccer player hits his peak and then he starts to plateau as a defender. There, I mean, it could be, unless you're Andrea Pirlo, he's the anomaly, but I think Leone could be a good signing for the future. I would obviously like to see more of him. I kind of wish Sampdoria got promoted so that we could see him in Serie A potentially, but who knows? Maybe whoever picks up the rights for Serie A can somehow get the Serie A B rights as well, because, you know, if you can get the championship here in the States, I don't see why you can't get Serie A B streaming rights as well. Is that that'd be a guy to keep an eye out for?
According to Sempre Inter, Juventus, Torino, Spurs, Monaco, and Napoli have all shown interest in him. So,
yikes, that's not good.
Jesus.
You know, but he's from Rome, so maybe, I don't know, maybe that helps us, because Roman teams tend to not like Juve, so.
Yeah, that's true. You would have thought that, you know, would have been the best example, but then again, Bremer is now a Juventus player.
Buongiorno was loyal, at least.
He was.
He said he would not go there, so.
He was.
Like that he didn't go to Napoli, or that he did go to Napoli, but hey, at least he didn't go to Juve, so.
It's an absolute travesty that he didn't see a minute at the Euros. But anyway, let's not go on a tangent. Okay, so there's a couple more things that we have to talk about here. Mentioned earlier, training has now started. Some names that we were maybe hoping to not see show up in training because they were already sold are nevertheless here. Joaquin Correa, Zeno van Huijsten.
You're missing a name there too, but I'll bring it up.
You say it at the end. Joaquin Correa, Zeno van Huijsten, Martin Satriano, Lucien Agume, Eddie Salcedo, and
Andre Radu. He's
Andre
there.
Andre Radu, that's right.
Radu is there.
That's
I've
right.
Seen the pictures. I've seen him walking out in front of Martinez. Yeah.
So this is our dead weight. It's still here. And it looks fucking impossible to get rid of them. Satriano, I thought for sure, would have had a buyer by now.
Yeah, same. There's only one guy from that list that I would actually want to keep.
That's my question for you. Any of these players, do you expect them to be on the team? I don't think we expected Agume to be on the team until January last year, but that happened.
I don't expect any of them are going to be there. But who do I want to stay is Zeno van Huijsten.
Really?
Yeah. There's a player that he just can't stay healthy.
He just can't stay healthy.
You know, if we could actually rely on him to play 15, 20 games, whatever it may be, there's a player there. But yeah, he just can't stay healthy to save his life. And it's a shame, you know, he's had two catastrophic ACL injuries, which I think is so difficult to come back from. But I don't think we'll keep him because of that. But he's the only guy that I'd be okay. Like if you told me like, hey, he might be a rotational player, he might play like meaningless games, you know, whether it be in Coppa Italia or something, I'd be okay with that. But sounds like these guys are trying to find new homes.
Of these six players, give me one that you expect to have a successful career.
Maybe Satriano.
I think that's the answer.
I mean, Van Huijsten, again, had it not been for injuries, I think he would be a successful player. But
I think Satriano's the answer. I can't, like,
Agume is a bum. Like, he is trash. And the fact that there's Agume stands at this in our fan base is crazy to me, because nobody wants to keep him. You guys say he's so good, but nobody wants to keep him. Salcedo is like the new Longo. Like, we just can't get rid of this kid. Nobody wants to keep him either. And Radu, you know, listen, I was wrong about Radu. I was high off an under 21 Euros because he was, in my opinion, the goalkeeper of the tournament. If you go back and look at that tournament and tell me that guy was not phenomenal. He just never grew, and he just hasn't gotten bigger, and his read of the game is not great, and his shot stopping is not great. And the one thing that he was supposed to be good at, which is the ball at his feet, is the one thing that cost us. So Yeah, Haradu, I think, is he's the new Loris Karius, just all gone in the head.
Wow. Well, he's got a pretty good off-the-field life, Karius.
Yeah, Karius, listen, I would have retired as soon as I got that. I would have retired. I would have been done with, I mean, yep, I don't need to play anymore.
He's not unhappy with how his
situation has turned out. Yeah, he's a very happy
situation has turned
stay-at-home out. Husband. Yeah, yeah. I think he's very happy.
All right, let me ask, last thing we'll say about this group of, again, our dead weight here. Who is the first player that you would get rid of? Like, just get this guy off
Correa.
The team immediately. Yeah.
Come on, mm-hmm. It's Correa. Like, there's,
and that's crazy AK to say Athens when you have offering Salcedo. $7 million. Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, yo, $7 million? Yep, we'll pay for his moving expenses. You just got to Venmo the money. Venmo the $7 million, please. And I want Correa gone.
I know they have to play it cool, but if you're Marotta and that official fax comes in saying $7 million,
that? Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Like
you can't jump on it immediately because you don't want
to.
Like
you're going to a janitor closet and closing the door, and you're screaming with how happy you are to get rid of this guy.
What do you think that's like for him? Like showing up to training, you got Mkhitaryan in there, and like. Carlos
and everybody
Augusto,
wants you gone.
And it's just, and Simone, you're seeing Simone again. And like they all, you guys finally won, you know, got the second star and you weren't there to see it. Like that's gotta be rough.
It's gotta be rough. Yeah. But I mean, the dude is useless. He is literally dead weight. So
yeah. All right. Moving on. A couple more potential outgoings, but let's shift from the dead weight to the veterans on this team, the players that have played a role for the squad in the last several years. Let's start with Devray. The Saudi rumors have cooled off. They've very much cooled off, but it was thought that he's potentially on his way out, potentially 15 to 20 mil in our coffers, which for me, if you get an offer like that for Devray, like you have to take that. Again, this is a player who's on the other side of 30, the side that you don't want to be on. So I guess this is a two-part question. First, do you take it? Let's say it's at the low end. Do you take 15 million from Saudi for him? That's the first question. Second question, we've been linked to Kim Min-jae, Jakob Bijol, Jesus Vasquez, Kevin Danso. Which of those names do you prefer to replace him?
I mean, I would have taken. I only saw 10 to 15 million. If there was a 20 million, that's kind of crazy. But I would still say yes to 10 million. You got it. This guy's on a free, so you really got your money's worth out of him. And then to profit 10 mil, that's huge. So yeah, I would have jumped all over that if an offer came in. Out of those guys, who would have been my preferred? Probably Kevin Danso. I think Danso is even though he's in, you know, another one of those center backs in that French league. He would have been a guy that I would have been very. Very high on, and then probably if you know Kim is probably the one I would want the most, but we don't have that guy. Whatever Bayern
Kim is the best
him,
player for
yeah,
sure,
like, and he's the one I would preferred, but we would have never had the money to sign him, so like I didn't even consider that. But Danso, then Bijol, and then Vasquez would have been my order if we took him out of the equation, because I just didn't see that as a realistic option.
I think as far as a replacement is concerned, I'm leaning more towards Bijol because a couple of reasons. One, get rid of Jesus Vasquez immediately. Get rid of that link done. Should not be linked to us for the future of our center back. Then you look at Kim, and it looks like the only way that we can bring him in is in a high-cost loan only for a year without an obligation attached. So that's not a good deal. Despite him, you know, even with as good as he is, that's not a good deal. And then it's Bijol and Danso. Danso is probably in the 25 to 30 million range. Bijol might be in the 15 to 20, given his immense Euro performance. So I think in that case, I would take Bijol. 10 million for Devray, I'd really need to have my next center back like locked up, ready to go in order for me to take it.
For sure.
But I would take the 15 for sure. So we'll see how this plays out. I think Devray is staying. But I don't think that takes away the fact that we need a center back for the future desperately.
Yeah, I would definitely echo that sentiment because yeah, we need somebody, and ideally somebody younger who could eventually step in, because we don't know what we're gonna get from Acerbi this year. And De Vrij, you know, sometimes he looks brilliant, other times he drops thinkers. So yeah, it would be nice to get somebody else in.
All right, another big need. Dumfries looks close to a renewal. $4 million.
Sorry, I just threw up in my mouth. Thanks.
Plus bonus. I heard it actually. I heard it come through.
Yeah.
He looks like it's almost over the line. Sugawara is signing for Southampton.
Sugawara is sayonara.
Sugawara is sayonara. So that sucks because he was the
Southampton
guy.
Southampton, man. Like, we can't
fuck that. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Dumfries staying, like, okay, obviously my preference is to sell him, but he had a really good first half of the season before he got injured, and then it looked like the wheels just fell off and he wasn't the same player, but he had a pretty decent Euro. It wasn't all good, but he was involved. He was very much involved. And I guess the only reason that I'm not so upset with his potential renewal is because I don't think it rules out a sale completely. And also, I'm really concerned with a right wing back pairing of Dumfries and Darmian, less so because of Dumfries and more so because at this point in his career, I don't think Darmian gives us anything offensively from that right wing back position.
And that's why I wanted Dan and Doi. I would have killed to get, you know, like if Carboni gets sold, you get me a cheap center back, whether it's a guy like Bijol, who supposedly is between 15 and 20 million. Let's say, all right, hypothetically, let's say we got the 40 million. I would take 20 of that to Bologna for Ndoye, 20 of that to Udinese for Bijol, and there you go. You got your center back, you got your right wing back, and I'm thrilled with that. Because, yeah, I think Darmian, at this point in his career, is at best a right center back or a left center back if needed. Although we saw how that looked at the Euros, was not great. Not terrible, but I think that... Listen, I don't even want to get into that anymore. But, yeah, I think that he cannot play right wing back because, like you said, he doesn't bring anything offensively anymore. He could chip in an occasional juicy cross, but that's really about it. Like he doesn't have those late runs into the box anymore like he used to and score, you know, some great goals. I'll still say his crossing is better than Dumfries, but that's only when he decides to push forward, which doesn't seem to be the case anymore.
He's
so,
like, hesitant to do so. It's almost like he knows that
he's more worried about having to run back.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like,
it's like he knows he's lost a step and he doesn't
which I respect. You know, he knows his strengths, he knows his weaknesses. He never puts us in a situation where we're in trouble.
Yeah.
So I respect that. But yes, but like you said, I do think we need more offensive out of that position, which Dan and Doi would bring in bunches.
And Man United looks to be interested in Doi, but I think the other positive that Doi would bring is that with Tejan going down, Ndoye would be the guy that on the team that you expect to take his man on. Because right now, we don't have that. Outside of Zielinski and Barella, no one else is blowing by their marker. DiMarco is able to find space because of how good the movement of the midfield is and how good Bastoni's positioning is. But he's not destroying people for pace. Like, I really think Ndoye would be a great signing, but it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. All right. Last, hopefully, the last name on this list for outgoings, outside of what we'll get into in a little bit, is Arnautović. So if the scenario plays out that Arnautović is still on this team, and it looks like the only real interest he would have is from Turkey or Saudi Arabia, if it plays out that Arnautović is still on this team, and it means that Goodmanson doesn't come in, how much of a talking point or concern would that be for you heading into the season? He was our third striker this year. That's Taremi is
gonna be our fourth striker now.
Right.
So like to me, it's not a it's a non-issue. You know, I mean, I think that he'll be able to do that role just fine. I don't think we're seriously interested in Goodmanson. I think with his legal situation, no one's going to touch him until that's cleared up. Fantastic player, but like you want that to not be looming over him and drop that kind of money on a player like him. So I'm okay with him being the fourth option. I would have been okay with him being the fifth option if we decided to keep Carboni and we can't get any of these other deals potentially done. So I don't get the hate for Arnautovic. I know he's not the same player. I think he had a pretty decent Euros. And if you can bring
it's
that kind of...
the same thing. He gets himself in position. Like, his actual play is good. Like, he's in positions to score. It's the fucking finishing.
Yeah.
Like, so annoying.
And then when he doesn't finish, it gets in his head, and then he just becomes like a negative Nelly the rest of the time. But, you know, I would rather have someone have decent link-up play, good flicks, good passing, good movement and stuff than have someone like Alexis Sanchez who demands to be on the pitch, and then he gets bullied by everybody else. And when he doesn't, you know, it's easy to score when you have a tap-in. He almost missed a tap-in last year, so I'm fine with him being there.
It's so interesting that this Goodmanson thing has turned out this way. I guess it really does speak to what potentially is on the table for him legally, because wasn't it like Napoli was so close to signing him, and now we haven't heard anything as far as other teams being linked to him. So, yeah, I mean, obviously...
Yeah, I mean, he's going to court, I believe, in either September or October. So, like...
It's not great.
No one's going to spend that money if he's got that.
Not great. But... The incomparable Fabio Bergomi is still on the Goodmanson train, still sticking to his guns that it's going to get done. So let's see how that shakes out.
We'll see how that shakes out.
All right. Let's wrap up this episode. Let's talk about the FTK.
How about we skip the FTK? Because I have something I do. I did want to. You blind ranked players for me and Nima.
Yes.
I kind of wanted to reverse it to you.
Let's do it.
Because
before we do that. Let's quickly.
You really want to talk about these guys?
No, I don't. I don't want to talk about them. I'm just giving the news for everyone. Zanotti is gone. Yeah. Lugano signed him for like 1.5 million. Gone.
Francesco. I'm surprised he was even worth that much. Sorry, Sean from Alabama, but yeah.
I know what. I never understood the hype around him because he's a super limited player. But Zanotti officially gone.
I respect him pushing that agenda at least.
Francesco Pio Esposito looks like Spezia is going to get him for this year. It's going to be a loan, so he'll stay with us.
I think they think they're getting Salvatore back. That's why they're so keen on bringing him in.
Well, he actually he had a pretty good season, I thought.
No, yeah, Pio Salvatore. Did. Yeah.
Yeah, and
he's
probably, Pio.
He's the best one of the three.
I agree. Seba looks like he's going to wrap up with Empoli, which I'm happy for. I'm happy for because... He'll be off the books completely. And also, I think he can succeed at that club.
I think that's his level. Yeah.
Your boy, Filip Stankovic. Mm.
Maybe Venezia,
but also Bari, my hometown, is in the mix on signing him.
No, see, I want him to go to a Serie A club. I think he's ready to make the jump to Serie A. And I hope it's Venezia. And I hope Tessman stays there. So I have double the reason to watch Venezia.
I think he's ready for a Serie A team.
I think that he should have been included in the Genoa negotiations, personally. Like, I don't know why Genoa didn't even think to bring him, but...
I wonder. All right. Mm. That wraps up our State of the Union for Inter. Gianni, I turn it over to you.
All right, man. Ready for this?
Yeah.
Five players, blind ranking. All right?
Okay. What's the theme?
Your first...
Current or former?
Former.
Okay.
I'd say late 90s, early 2000s is where we are. So, first name, Alvaro Recoba.
Oh, I love Recoba. He goes at two for me instantly.
He goes at two?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the best left feet you'll ever see.
We'll never argue that. Next one, Julio Cruz.
Love Cruz. Never forget his goals against Juventus.
That man loves scoring against Juve.
Could hit a free kick too.
Yeah.
Had that.
I actually wish we would have had like him instead of Lukaku in the Champions League final. Would have been
we would have won that final 4-0.
We would have won that final. Yeah, we would have won that final.
With either Recco Baracruz. Wow, this is tough because I love him, but I don't
know. You know what's funny? You're saying his name right. I just always say Julio Cruz because of somebody on Rai when I used to watch it.
Yeah.
The Inter games on that, he would always call him Cruz. So it's just stuck in my head.
What did Scarpini call him? Recobo was Il Chino, which was just...
didn't he call him El Jardinero?
Yes. No, was it? Yeah, I think it was.
Oh, yeah, he called him the gardener.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to throw him at 3.
At 3?
Yeah.
Okay. Next one. Ivan Zamorano.
Just based off of these 3 players, you put him at 1. But I know how this game works.
Interesting.
Fuck. Now I feel like I should have put Cruz at 4. I'm going to put Zamorano at 4 because I want to keep my 1 open. Even though
okay,
his career would tell you that he should be 1 out of these 3.
Okay. Christian Vieri.
This is like, that's my guy. I have multiple Vieri jerseys. Now you really fucked me here. Because my favorite player of all time is on the board. And I want to leave it open. Oh, man. I'm going to put him at 1. I want to put it at 1. But if you do this to me where you make me put my favorite player at 5, I don't know if I can continue to do this.
I think you're safe because the guy I put at 5 was, or the 5th name is Diego Simeone.
He's 5. Okay. Clearly.
Yeah. No, I was when you were thinking about putting Zamorano at 1, I was like, "Oh man, he's not going to be happy here." But I think you did that perfectly. That's how I would have done it as well.
I love that you brought Vieri into this because he just celebrated a birthday. Amazing highlight comp from the Inter YouTube channel on his goals. Just, God.
I don't think people recognize. And when people talk about the greatest Italian strikers, if you look at his numbers for the national team, he scored at nearly a goal a half like every other game. So like 0.5. It was like a 0.49, I think, is his goals ratio.
At one point in time, he was the highest transfer in Inter's history, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. Headband Vieri was my favorite elite. Vieri.
And I love like, that kit, too. Like, fucking.
Dude, that
such
kit.
Such a good kit.
I mean,
with the yellow goal he scored stripe with the
intro,
on the back.
With the intro that we have for the podcast, the goal that he scored in that game where he rips the headband off and he's running and he's celebrating. Oh my gosh, it's so iconic to me. Vieri was the first Inter kit I've ever had. It's probably, he's in my top 5 favorite Inter players of all time that I've seen in my lifetime. Like, he's unbelievable.
He got 2 Footballer of the Year awards, 2 Capocannonieres, 1 Scudetto, 1 UEFA Super Cup.
With Inter? Or just his accolades in general?
This is just his accolades in general.
I think he won...
With Juventus, he won the... In 96. He was the Italian Football of the Year in 2002 and 1999. Capocannoniere in 02,
99 was he at Lazio?
99 was Lazio.
And 02, he was at Inter.
02 was Inter... 24 goals. He also was the top goal scorer in La Liga. He won the Pichichi with also 24 goals in 97.
That was with Atletico, right?
Yep. What a career this guy has.
What a
I didn't even see this. He was an under 21 champion with Italy in 94.
That team was stacked. Go look up that roster, bro.
That team was stacked. 1994. European Championships. Where does it show you the rosters, though?
Let me see. I think, do I got it here?
I have to sit now. I have to see.
I'm pulling it. Okay, hold on. I got it right now. Okay, so you got Francesco Toldo. First of all, the manager was Cesare Maldini. Toldo was the goalie. Cannavaro, Colonese. I'm just gonna pick the names that people recognize. Fabio Galante. Panucci. Carbone. Pippo Inzaghi. Pierluigi Orlandini, Vieri, I'm trying to see. Oh, Gianluca Cherubini.
Yeah.
And
Colonese played for Inter.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, Colonese. I mean, at that time he was with Cremonese.
From 97 to 2000.
And then you got that's it. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Colonese also he does a lot of commentary on Inter. He's constantly giving his quotes. He actually interview with Sempre Inter, I think.
Wow. I feel like I did pretty good at that blind ranking.
I think you did great.
Could have gone worse, but yeah, that was fun. We have to do more shit like this. Let's do like a guess the player one of these pods where we give out clues.
Do we give out? We just give out their teams that they played for. And you have to guess the player.
Or we just do one like clue at a time until you guess it. Let's do it right now.
Right now?
Yeah.
All right.
Whatever. I'll do it to you right now. I have the player.
I'll pull up. Let me pull up a player. Let me just think of someone real quick.
I'll do it for you because I got this player right now.
Okay.
All right. So this is gonna be the category is Interisti during our fandom lifetime. All right. Yep. So you're 89 or 88. 88 or 89.
Yeah, 88.
Okay. This player, I'll give one clue at a time. This player was signed from San Lorenzo in 2002 in 2000 by Inter.
Signed from San Lorenzo in 2000. Okay.
Need another
one? 2000 or 2002.
In 2000.
In 2000. From San Lorenzo. All right, give me another one.
He made 324 appearances for Inter at center back.
Signed from San Lorenzo? Is this Samuel?
No.
Okay.
Next.
No, yeah, we didn't get him from that. That's why I was confused, but that many appearances. Go ahead.
Next clue. 5'8".
Oh, Cordoba.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is.
That was my next guess before you said the height.
There it is. Right. I didn't even realize he made that many appearances for the team.
All right. This guy was signed from Reggiana in 2001.
Krisadig?
No.
Damn. All right, next one.
He made 88 appearances for the club, scoring 28 goals.
Oh, shit. Signed for Magana. I need another one.
He's 5'7".
Tiny guy.
The next hint I have might give it away. So
was it Calon?
Nope.
Fuck. All right. I need it.
He transferred to Newcastle after Inter, where he also made 88 appearances and scored 28 goals.
He did not. Yeah. Fuck.
What the fuck? I'm blanking. I give up.
His son was in the Inter Academy recently. Oh man. You want me to give it to you?
Yeah.
You're gonna be so
I'll
upset.
Be so pissed.
Obafemi Martins.
Fuck! I forgot about his Newcastle's then.
Yeah. Yep.
Damn.
And when that I saw that's one. Pretty crazy. 88 games one. For both, 28 goals for both.
That's a very good one. And he played in the MLS, so he speaks English. So, or at least we think he speaks English. So maybe we should get him on the pod one day.
Ooh, that'd be pretty sick. That'd be sick.
The backflip king. That was a good shout.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we should do stuff like this more often. Yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
You guys, if you guys have more ideas for shit like this to do, we'll switch it up. We can always add segments. It's not a problem.
Yeah. I don't care.
All right, an hour and 20 on the State of the Union. Hopefully next time we do this, we will have gotten rid of the dead weight that we talked about today. We will
hopefully the jerseys will be in.
The jerseys. Oh yes, any updates because there?
Not only are the jerseys coming in, but we also are going to have a special announcement with the jerseys.
Let's go.
Which I can't wait to share with you guys. Can't wait. Can't wait to share.
It's July 14th. This season is coming up way sooner than anyone could have thought. Like, it feels like this, it's flying by. Like, it hasn't been that much time off.
Hypothetically, the jerseys should be here in 2 weeks. Well, to me, to then be able to distribute to everybody else in 2 weeks.
So first game of the season, everyone can wear their jerseys and send pictures.
And I think we got to find a way to organize a charity game with the AJC.
I would love that. East Coast, do you think?
That would be the interesting
thing.
Because
there's some Canadians. No?
Most of them are Canadian. I think all of them are Canadians, actually. Then we're kind of spread out all over the U.S. So it would be... That would be the hard thing, like expecting people to like really meet and then like, you know, play a pickup soccer game.
Yeah, but it's not, you know, hard. Like if people wanted to fly to New York City for that'd be
a weekend
Thalia.
Or something.
Yeah, weekend.
Or even, you know, the mean streets of Toronto.
Toronto. Yeah, I'm down.
Toronto.
I'm down. Shout out Tony Mitch, your girl Tiff Stratton, Tiffy in the Bank.
She got it done.
I don't think there's anybody more obsessed with Tiff Stratton than Tony Mitch. So
listen, he's not on the wrong path here. I mean, he's got a point.
If you're gonna hitch your ride to a wrestler, that's the one, right?
That's the one, right to the top.
Although it's tough because
careful.
No. Listen, I was gonna say I do like Liv Morgan. That's all. That's all I was gonna say.
Who doesn't love Liv, man?
I mean,
who doesn't?
This guy Dom don't know what he's doing. I don't even watch wrestling, but I pay attention to their storyline.
It's very viral. It's very viral. Yeah. All right. Before we get into the weeds here, and my fiance beats the shit out of me for saying this stuff on the pod, we gotta get out of here.
Yep, good call.
Thanks for listening. Yeah, let us know if there's some segments that you guys want us to do. And in the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.